10. Marcus felt giddy, and more than a little lightheaded as they trooped back into camp, the horses struggling to pull the loaded wagons through the sticky mud. The wet bricks of gold and silver glinted in the faint sunlight, and his men moved from their campfires to watch as he walked toward his command tent. He'd done it. Against the odds, he'd done it. The commotion of the men drew Felix and Titus and the rest of those lingering over maps and strategies out into the rain, and his second's blue eyes widened as they lighted upon the procession. "What's all this?"
"I told you not to worry about our coffers."
Stepping past Felix, Marcus ducked into the tent, handing his helmet to Amarin, who also took his sodden cloak. Picking up a bottle of rum and a stack of tin cups, he circled the table full of maps and paperwork, setting full cups in front of each of the stools. The group followed him in, taking their places.
"I was under the impression you were organizing a split of Urkhan's coffers among the clans, sir," Felix finally said, "though it appears you had another plan in mind."
Servius snorted, then reached for one of the cups, which he drained in two long swallows. Slamming it down on the table hard enough to make it shake, he said,
"I'm going to get some sleep."
Without waiting to be dismissed, he strode from the tent. Tariana picked up the cup in front of her, then shook her head and set it back down on the table.
"I'm going to see after Quintus and Mickey." She was angry with him. Part of him wanted to go after her, to make her understand why he'd done things this way.
But the other, spiteful part of himself, thought she deserved a taste of how it felt to be deceived.
"Gibson, go with her. And stay with her."
The Primus made a face but then drained his cup and started after Tariana. Pausing at the entrance to the tent, he said,
"I'm neither suited to nor interested in this line of work, sir. You ought to consider choosing someone else from the ranks to guard your asset."
"I'll think on it,"
Marcus answered, his good mood rapidly fouling.
"But for now, you will follow orders."
Gibson gave a sour salute, then disappeared from sight, leaving Marcus alone with Felix and Titus. Titus picked up his drink and took a mouthful but said nothing. Felix crossed his arms, expression grim, yet he also remained silent.
"Which one of you is it?"
Marcus sipped at the rum, but didn't taste it.
"Which one of you betrayed me?"
"By Aaron Oakwin custom, we were entitled to a portion of Urkhan's wealth," he finally said. 60%, to be precise.
Titus grinned and shook his head.
"Tidy profit for a half a day's work."
"I take it the Imperators were not pleased."
Felix jerked his chin toward Marcus's bleeding neck.
"That needs stitches."
"Irene doesn't like having things sprung upon her, but we came to an understanding,"
Marcus answered, curbing the urge to touch the stinging wound.
"The allied clans will leave Arakam no later than tomorrow. They have what they came for, so there is no sense lingering, especially not given the amount of gold they all have in their possession."
"You think they'll go to war with one another over it?"
Titus asked.
"Inevitably."
Polishing off his drink, Marcus reached for the bottle to refill it.
"For more than a decade, they've had a common enemy in Urkhan, but no longer. With nothing to unify them, I believe they'll return to raiding one another, as was their custom in their prior homeland."
"Unless you've gone and turned us into their common enemy," Felix snapped.
"They believed that gold their due, and you took the lion's share of it."
"We're too big a fish for a single clan to war with."
"What if they unify?"
Felix pushed his full cup out of the way and rested his elbows on the table.
"I'm not saying we wouldn't win, but it would be heavy losses. Never mind that we're supposed to be focused on broadening our footprint while we search for Zenthir paths back to the Empire. That is our mandate, unless you've forgotten, sir."
It had been the elephant in the room for a long time now that Marcus had taken no steps to search for Zenthir stems, but it had been easy to brush aside the matter as a lesser priority than entrenching themselves in Aranoquia. Except why was Felix bringing it up now?
Was it because his other attempt to get rid of Tariana had failed, and he now saw finding Zenthir paths as the surest way to achieve that end?
His head began to throb again, the tent pulsing along with it, and Marcus took another mouthful of rum despite knowing he was only making his headache worse. He needed sleep, but he'd only lie awake staring at canvas, and there was so much to be done.
"Well?"
He'd taken too long to answer. Gulping down another mouthful, Marcus set aside the cup.
That's why we'll be allying ourselves with the largest of them, before they burn through all the gold and start looking for places to find more.
Felix blinked.
With Irini? With the woman who, from the looks of it, just about slit your jugular?
Yes. I sent a messenger to her camp, so she should be here shortly.
Felix's ears darkened, his jaw working back and forth, but it was Titus who spoke.
It would seem, sir, that you have a good many plans that you haven't chosen to share with your officers.
Yes, well,
Marcus stretched, both hearing and feeling his back crack.
I couldn't risk loose lips.
Since when has that been a concern? Felix demanded. What is going on with you?
Before Marcus could answer, one of his men stepped inside.
Imperatrix Irini is here to see you, sir. Do you want me to have her wait?
Marcus shook his head.
Send her in.
To Titus and Felix, he said, I want to speak to her alone. Titus left without comment, but Felix muttered,
I'll wait outside in case she tries anything.
Irini entered, pulling back the hood concealing her face.
You've a lot of nerve, boy. Speak quickly before I lose what patience in you I have left.
I invited you here to propose an alliance.
The woman barked out a laugh.
Is that so? And what will this particular alliance cost me? I confess that the price of our last alliance was a bit rich for my blood.
It will cost you nothing, for it will be an alliance that puts all the gold you lost to me back in the hands of you and your clan.
Irene's brow furrowed.
Explain yourself.
Rising to his feet, Marcus drew a map out from under a pile, motioning for her to come closer. I've marked the territories of the clans. Here, you can see the territory that officially... He tipped his hand from side to side, because the clans had no firm borders. Belonged to Urkon's clan.
I propose that with my help, you take control of his territory, including the port cities of Galena and Arakom.
She huffed out a breath, then took a half step back from the table.
This...
Let me finish, he said.
Scowling, his blood dripped from his neck to stain the map.
True wealth doesn't come from raiding. It comes from trade. From facilitating commerce.
Urkon destroyed that opportunity by making the ports of both of Aranoquia's largest cities dangerous and unprofitable. But that could change with you in control.
And what part would you play in this alliance?
Irene asked once he was finished explaining his plans to turn Arakom into a center for trade.
You'll need an extensive military to hold such a large territory, as well as to keep the peace within it, he said. I can provide that, as well as serve as your advisor.
In exchange for what?
In exchange for 50% of the taxes you earn from those in your territory for the next 10 years.
20%.
40.
30.
He nodded. 30 it is, then. And of course your understanding that once we have established trade routes with the Empire, that your agreement will cease to be with me, but rather with the Senate. Initially, the Senate would be all smiles and accommodating words. Except once they felt their position strong, they'd begin to push for concession after concession from the Arinoquians until the Empire was firmly in control of both politics and commerce. And then the majority of profit would flow east, into patrician coffers. But that was only a problem if Zenthier paths were found. And if not for the consequences to Teriana, Marcus would dream that they never were. Would dream of an opportunity to give his men a chance at a good life out from under the Empire's thumb. A good life for himself. Picking up the bottle of rum, Irene drank straight from the neck, her expression thoughtful as she considered his proposal. It wasn't only potential financial gain she was considering, but rather the consequences of declining his offer. What would happen to her clan if Marcus proposed an alliance with another imperator? Or what would happen if he decided to use his newfound wealth and existing military strength and took the territory for himself? She had no choice. He knew it, and so did she. Slowly she nodded.
You have your alliance, Legatus. But I will have these terms and the minutiae of our deal in writing. And I'll have Teriana's signature as witness. Given she's Marin royalty, it will hold more weight.
Pardon?
He gaped at her, not at all prepared for that particular demand, or that particular revelation. Irene chuckled, the gleam in her emerald eyes telling him that while they might be allies, they would never be friends.
It seems your lover is keeping secrets from you, Marcus. As we are again allies, and are therefore aligned in our interests, allow me to bring you into the fold. Teriana is heir to more than just the Quincens. She's heir to the Triumvirate.
The what?
The Marin are ruled by a trade consortium made up of the captains of the three ships escorted by Midoriya's guardians. Triumvirtessia of the Quincens is one of those captains, which makes Teriana the closest thing the Marin have to a princess. Her voice carries weight with kings.
Teriana was royalty. The note the Queen of Catamarca had included as a token of her goodwill took on a whole different level of meaning, and also explained how a scrap of paper from a merchant girl managed to make it into the hands of a queen at all. Inclining her head, Irene said,
"Good day to you, Legatus. I look forward to enjoying the fruits of our alliance."